The Happy Feast of St. Martin of Tours. I have to admit, I think in the U.S. we don't seem to make a big deal out of St. Martin of Tours. In the first half of the church's history, he was a big deal. And if you go around Europe, you'll see a lot of artwork depicting him. I think even at the Met, or if you go to the Met cloisters, I think you'll see some pieces depicting St. Martin of Tours. He was came about 100 years after St. Denis, Saint-Denis. But he was kind of one of the original wonder workers, miracle workers in the church. The generation of saints who were going to be martyrs was coming to an end, because in the early centuries, if you were going to be a big name Catholic, it pretty much meant that you were going to be martyred. So that generation was coming to an end. But now he began kind of a generation of saints where he was one of the ones that just, he's kind of like a Padre Pio, where he was just working miracles all over the place. He was there in the early years of the church, I want to say in the late 300s, if I'm not mistaken. So Christianity had existed, but it was still in the process of taking root in Europe. He was in what would be modern day France, Tours. He was a great exorcist. He, at least three occasions, raised people from the dead. Imagine that. I mean, actually, when I was doing the Encounter ministry, I studied 1 year with Encounter, and I remember one of the speakers saying, he's taken part in numerous healings, but he says, I have not yet witnessed anybody raising somebody from the dead. I want to be there for that. St. Martin did. At least three different occasions. I said he was not a martyr. It was not for want of trying. It's actually pretty miraculous that he was not a martyr, because one of the things he would do as an exorcist, he would go and find out where are the pagan temples or where are the pagan places of worship. Usually out in the countryside, there would be like some tree or something. Or some stone or some natural place that was kind of striking, and it became a place of pagan worship. Now, when you're dealing with temples of pagan worship, you're dealing frequently, legitimately, with demons. And he would go find out, okay, that's supposed to be the sacred tree over there, and he would cut it down. And the people, the townspeople, would be all angry at him. And of course, it's amazing that he didn't get martyred. And he would, but he was fearless. He would just go and. He didn't, it's not just like he waited for people to bring to him people that were possessed. He would find out where there were places of demonic activity, and he would go looking for them and take them on head to head and conquer in Christ's name. So he was an incredible apostle that way. We know his most famous story was kind of one of his earliest stories. His dad was pagan, his mom eventually got baptized, but at the time his mom had not yet been baptized. And he was interested in Christianity and wanted to be a Catholic and wanted to be a saint and whatnot. So his dad, who was a pagan, said, by no means. And his dad sticks him in the Roman legions, the military. Says, that ought to make a man out of you. And there's a story of, I don't know, somewhere in Gaul, in France, where he encounters this man who is practically naked and freezing and, dying of cold. And St. Martin, it's not like he, opened up his closet and had a whole wardrobe. Oh, I've got some extra sweaters here. He's a soldier. He's only got one cloak himself to keep warm with. So he takes it and he cuts it in half and gives half to the freezing man and then keeps half for himself. And later on, he had a vision of Christ who was saying, Satan, or he didn't call him saint, he says, Martin, who was still only a catechumen, clothed me when I was cold. So he wasn't even yet baptized. After that, that moved him then to hurry up and get baptized. He quit the army. He got ordained because he was a bishop eventually, and took on this permanent ministry. So, what can we learn from St. Martin? I would say he was a man, first of all, who was absolutely generous. It sounds nice. Well, that's great that you gave some clothing to somebody who was freezing and cold. Well, again, that's the only thing he had himself. So he had skin in the game. He was willing to suffer so that somebody else would not suffer right off the bat. He was generous. We can ask ourselves, generosity sounds great, but how often am I willing to suffer in order to be generous to others? That's always a big question. He was absolutely courageous. He believed in the gospel and was willing to go out and find places where paganism reigned and take it on and bring about conversions. Okay, well, how courageous am I? Sometimes I won't even, I'm not talking about myself, but some of us are embarrassed even to make the sign of the cross and pray over our meals when we're in a restaurant. Well, talk about being courageous, you can't even do that, okay? How willing am I to live my faith publicly? How willing am I, and when in need, to go out and to seek people who need to hear the gospel message, to pray with people, how willing am I? He was going out into the most dangerous places and doing this stuff. And then there's a very moving story at the end of his life when he was dying and his people were saying, "Don't leave us, Martin, pray to God, you know, you're going to go to heaven anyway, but we still need you." And he broke into tears and he just said, "Lord, if your people still need me, then keep me as long as you want. And if they don't need me, then take me whenever you want. I'm indifferent." So he was absolutely indifferent about himself. He simply wanted to do God's will. So three lessons we can learn from St. Martin.